Glory to God. Well, this week we are going back in our teaching again on living a life of faith. Hallelujah. Yes, I hope last week helped you. It helped me. Preaching and, you know, there's just things that the Holy Spirit sometimes says in ways when I'm ministering, you don't always know the effect it specifically has on people, other people, but sometimes I say things differently than I ever said before, but it really speaks to me anyhow. When I say things, I think, wow, that one, the way it was said. But we're dealing with the areas of faith, of walking and living by faith, and because I see more and more of looking at the body of Christ where years ago, and Mike and I were sort of talking this morning about the basics of faith and things that we grew up under, Mike and I grew up under, and listening to teaching, there's a lot of foundational teaching that we were taught years ago that's not taught today. The foundational teachings aren't taught, and you don't hear them. I don't think sometimes it's ministers are specifically bad not teaching it. What they do is they assume people know things. I don't assume anybody knows anything. I'll tell you what, I don't assume I know anything. If you do, I think you're going to be in trouble. It's one of the things you need to understand that the success in anything is in the basics. You can never move off of basics. I remember listening years ago, back when they had one of the stock market crashes, one of the many that I've lived through. I've lived through a number of them. And I remember listening on TV, there was a Harvard Business School, the dean of Harvard Business School was talking about some things, and this is before the crash came along, and he said there's going to be a stock market crash. This goes back to the days of the junk bond thing. Remember that? Junk bond? And what was that guy's name that turned around and got into, went to prison for it because it was nothing but a scam. But anyhow, you know, all people were just jumping on board with all this stuff. And I remember listening to the dean of Harvard School. He said this. He said, there's basic principles of business and investment. And he says, if you go against those you're going to end up in trouble. And he said, this is what's happening. Well, everybody ran him down. Oh, no, this is a new day, a new time. See, if you're one of those people, new day, new time, you're already off course. Foundational principles never change. God changes not. He ain't ever changing. Folks, that is your security of faith. If God changes, you don't have a place to stand in faith. Because what else? He does something. Oh, I was believing he's going to do this, and he's out doing that. And see, you need to know that. And I remember that guy saying that, listening to him talk. He said, you can't. So I've watched over the years. I know they start doing things and people come up with new ideas, but it's contrary to sound principles. I don't care what field you go into. You go into any field, it's the same way. It doesn't change. I've watched our educational system. You always get people coming. They're coming back with a new math again. I lived through that one time and it ruined a whole generation of kids. Made a bunch of idiots that didn't know anything about math because some real brilliant rocket scientist came up with an idea about the principles. We need to understand this. I mean, I was here not long ago, was just reading an article about math and the math as we know math and how it figures. The foundation of math is as accurate as man understands it. And if you change that foundation, then everything else gets off. Everything else gets off. And what do we have? We have people that spend all the time, go to college, get educated, get PhDs, and they want to change math. They want to leave the foundation. You can't leave the foundation. The foundation must always stay the same. That's why God, over the years, God always brings me back to my foundations of study. Every year, I'm studying and things about my foundation. Every year. Every year, I study things about faith. About walking by faith, how to do those things. I go over foundations concerning things about healing and all those kinds of things, about finances and that kind of stuff. Why? I'm going to tell you have money problems, the rest of all that stuff, you can believe in prophecy all you want. And I'm going to tell you, the devil owns your bank account, you're going to be miserable all year. I'm just going to tell you how it works. I've lived in life long enough that all that other stuff don't really matter out there. If you can't make the foundation work, if you can't get the foundational things running, and that's why, you know, we're talking about these. I don't know how long we're going to be on, you know, just dealing in these areas, but it's living this thing out day to day, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do it. You don't need some huge, great revelation. You don't need to have, oh, we need a special revelation and I'll write you a special book that'll give you a special revelation and you just send your money in and I'll give you this special book and it'll change your life. And I see people do that all the time and people get the book and it changes nobody's life. You know, I've watched all this stuff of the, all these great revelations these ministers get. Oh, I got this great revelation, this big thing that I got, this big new thing that I got. And they sell, you know, all these books. You know, it's just like, you know, the, you know, you watch. You look back over the past years. How much has a lot of these big books actually changed the body of Christ other than the body of Christ has become less spiritual? Now, I've watched over the last 10 years how the body of Christ has gotten less spiritual, yet we have some of the most phenomenal books have been written, and people have bought them by the millions upon millions upon millions. Well, did it change anybody's life? I always say, Brother Hagin said, if you got a revelation, he said, you find out over time whether it's any good. You see what the outcome of it is. He said, if it didn't produce anything, and most of it has produced nothing. If great revelations are coming forth, then it should change people's lives. I found out that some of the foundational principles are some of the greatest revelations I ever had, and they changed my life. When I got born again, listening to the teaching of Kenneth E. Hagin on faith changed my life. And I'm down the road, number of years down the road now, 34 years down the road walking in this, and it still works. And I don't need to have another book published to get it to work. I don't need another revelation. You know what I do? I just go back to what I was taught. Go back, and what I taught was in the Bible. And so come back, always come back to the foundations of teaching. Because today many people are consider themselves, you know, spiritual and have all kind of revelations, yet they know nothing about the foundations. You know, that person telling me how good their church is and how wonderful their church is, and you know, they're quote spirit-filled people, they can't get healed, they can't get nothing working for them, they're telling me how wonderful their church is. Their church stinks. Because their church ain't living in the foundations. They're spirit-filled people without the Spirit. I wonder how that works. The Spirit's always going to lead you to life. He's going to lead you to health. He's going to lead you to... The Spirit's always going to lead you to those things. That's what He's going to do. Or it ain't the Holy Spirit. That's what He leads you to. The Holy Ghost never led me to sickness. He never led me to poverty. He never led me to the... And yet I run into people all the time and they're talking about, oh, yeah, they have a wonderful time. They have fun in church and they like it. We just have, oh, we love each other. I'm buried a lot of love people. You know, we got to wake up. Things must work, and we're in a day and time that we can't be gullible and buy things. I'm going to tell you what, if a preacher has to stand and beg for money, folks, we have to know this. Stuff ain't working for him. So, you know, he ought to get around to believing if what he preaches works. It ought to do something. There's one thing as I've identified. I have sat and looked at people. And this is one thing. I look to find people. Hey, you know, this that person, they're being blessed in this area. What are they doing? I don't look for the guy that's standing around his intro. Well, I wonder what he's doing. You know, like he knows something. Well, he must not know anything. Or at least he don't even listen to what he preaches. Some people are like that. You know, they know what's true, but they don't do it. But it's to find out, what does a person know? And if it works for them, and that's what you need to do, identify what works. Somebody's got a system. It's not because he says, oh, you go out here and you do this, and he's always trying to get his hand in your pocket. Hold it. Something's wrong here. Something's the matter here with this thing. Let's back this thing off. And it's like with anything. People teach about healing. It's amazing. People teach about healing, and ministers teach about healing, but yet can't, you know, my God, if their doctor moved out of town, they'd be more in trouble than most of the congregation. Folks, I've been around them. They stand talk about healing. But the whole thing of it is, they really don't have a revelation on healing. They don't have a revelation on it. It isn't something they can live. And you have to be able, somebody's got to live something. We got to be able to live it. I can't imagine that the Word of God can't be lived. I can't believe it. You know, and if you follow, well, you know what? At work, we set our faith aside to go to work. I'm sorry. They tried that on me at Reese's about setting my faith aside, and I didn't at all. I told them to go jump. I said, this is what I am when I'm living, and I ain't going to live like hell to be like you. You know, and I remember working at Reese's. They came to me one time, and they said about this thing because there was this individual used to come all the time and ask me to pray for them about different things. But then they would go behind my back all the time and criticize me and talk about me and all that. So one day they walked up, they asked us to pray. And right in front of everybody, I said, "You want me to pray for that? Good, come here." And I just took their hands and just started praying right there. Well, I mean, they just got embarrassed about it and got all upset. Well, the person went and told the supervisor, and the supervisor said, "You can't do this." I said, "Number one, that person came and asked me to pray for them." And I said, "I did." And I said, "Number two, I said," he said, you can't do that kind of stuff. I said, "Look, you guys turn around here," and I said, you have illegal betting and stuff going on here and stuff. I said, you guys run these, things with football pools and all this kind of stuff. I said, it's actually against the law. And I started naming all the things that they do against the law. I said, "Do you want to go out front and talk to the plant manager about this stuff?" I said, "Let's go out and see. We'll talk about who's doing the most wrong here." Well, he never said anything to me again. Never said a thing again. Because I told him, I said, "Don't matter what they do, I ain't going to quit. I ain't going to quit being who I am. I'm not going to stop that. I learned a long time ago. You bow, you're done. You bow, you're done." And so you got to live. Because why? You got to live by faith. You have to live by faith. People throw their faith away. I've learned to be bold with people. I don't play church with people. I work with people and that stuff, and they just play church thing. I tell them. They come out, pray for me about this. Say, "You don't want to have nothing to do with it anyhow. Come on, get real. Oh, we might hurt your feelings and they won't like me anymore." We don't live by faith. We need to let people know that their religion ain't going to get them nowhere. But we're afraid to. Because why? We want everybody to feel comfortable and feel all right. Folks that don't work in comfort feel all right. People can say the nicest things to Ed, but if Ed ain't walking and it ain't working, and I go under, what good it did to be nice? What good did it do? And I tell you, we're not trying to be mean, but we need to be preachers today. We need to be people today say, "Hey, you know what, the direction you're going there? Because I found out this anymore, Don't ask me my opinion if you didn't want to hear it. Don't ask me about it if you didn't want to know. Don't ask. I don't tell people come at me all the time. I've had people over the years come to me and tell me they ask me to pray for things. And I tell them I ain't going to pray for it. I've had people, really stupid. People you hardly even know. They come and they'll ask you, they'll go to some church. They're asking as many people as they can to pray about a problem they got. And I just tell them, if God leads me to pray for it, I will. But I ain't telling you I'm going to pray for your problem. I said, my words, I can't go around and pray for everybody's problem. But see, these people think, if we get a mass, we just get a bunch of people. I found out a long time ago, I can get God to answer me. I can get God to answer me better than most crowds can. I'm just telling you, because most people have faith in the crowd. I have faith in God. That's the difference. There's no faith in a crowd. There's no place in the Bible say, if you just get a whole bunch of them. It does say this, if you get two to agree, but they got to agree on the same thing. Well, I found out that's the hardest thing in the world. It isn't always easy to find two people that are spiritual enough to agree on this. Some of the worst things that people ever do is walk up and ask somebody else to pray for them, because the person going to pray for them has no faith. They don't ever check. They don't even know what the person believes, but have the idea. We just pray. See, we got to get it, because this is not living a life of faith. We're to live a life of faith, and a life of faith is hearing what God says, believing what God says, and then doing that. That's what the life of faith is. The life of faith is not, going out here and saying, I'm a Christian or I'm a this. That's not a life of faith. A life of faith is what we've heard from heaven. We're looking at Abraham. Abraham heard from heaven. God told him to go to a land. God gave him a promise and sent Abraham to that land. Abraham is walking by faith. What? He heard from heaven. He heard what heaven said. He believed it, and then he went and did it. He set himself out to do it. And that's what living the life of faith is. If I know what God said, then I got to get out there and set myself to do it. We looked last week, and I want to go back over to the book of Romans, where we were last week. Because just to sort of hook up concerning Abraham and these things, because of faith, we need to understand this. The faith walk, the difficulty of most people walking in faith is what we talked about last week and really emphasized last week, where the Holy Ghost really seemed to want to talk about, is the contrary, because faith is contrary to what goes on in the natural. Faith is contrary. This is what people say, it's hard to live by faith. Well, not really. It's like anything can seem hard. If you've never practiced it or done it, it can seem very hard to do. There's some things in life. Did you ever notice or watch a child learn to tie a shoe and how they struggle? You know, it's actually easy to tie a shoe. There ain't nothing to it, to tie a shoe. It ain't hard at all. But to a person who's never done it, it could seem difficult. But I mean, you don't even have to look at your shoe if you want to tie one. You don't even have to look at it. You can just tie it off and do that. Why? Because you practiced that. When you started off, you had to look and see everything you were doing to try to get it. I see some people still do that. But, you know, but you got to learn and see. It's like faith. Faith, you know, some people are fortunate. They have been born and raised in a church that ministers and preaches faith. And from the time of a child, they're taught how to do it. So they just knew how to do it. So they know from a child of how to walk by faith. And that's great. But most people aren't in that category. Most people have sat in religious churches that taught you everything but how to walk by faith. They didn't because, and they can't. You go back, they're leaders. You know, they couldn't teach you to walk by faith. They don't know how to walk by faith. They couldn't teach you that. So when you hear the message, it's new to you. And then people say, well, it's hard. Really, it's not hard. It's just what you have learned to practice over the years. And you're going to have to change your practices. You're going to have to operate contrary to the way you operated before. You got to do that. See, most people, most teaching and stuff going on today is on a very superficial level and mingles the natural with the spiritual. And most people have a mixed faith, which is contrary to walking by sight and walking by faith. It's contrary to both. It don't work because it's mixed. And what you want to do, when Jesus made this statement in Mark 11:23, he said concerning moving the mountain, he said, if you believe and doubt not in your heart. In other words, you can't have a mixture. This is where most people find great difficulty because they have a mixture. That's why their faith don't work. They have a mixture. And the mixture will not produce. You know, it's just like, you know, anything. Say if you had a cleaner, you know, you dilute that cleaner, it's not going to work as well, is it? It's not going to do as good a job. Your faith, if it gets diluted with what's going on around you, what you see, feel, touch, taste, and smell, if that dilutes it, your faith ain't going to work as well. It's not going to work. It's not going to produce the things that you'd like to have it produced. And we need to understand that. This is where people, they're working and fighting at this thing, trying to get things going. Now, we read last week in Romans, the fourth chapter, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that don't exist as they do. What does God do? God's a life giver. Remember that. God's not a death giver. God's not killing people. People say, well, God's killing something. Well, it don't say that here. It says God's a life giver. He gives life to the dead. He calls those things that don't exist as though they do. God's not in the killing business. The devil does it. We can prove it from the scriptures. You know, we know from a scripture standpoint, there was a guy in the church at Corinth was getting out left field. He was a member of the church. The Holy Ghost said this. He said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. He didn't say, pray that God would kill him. He didn't say no, because why? God don't kill. Ain't no death in heaven. God ain't got nothing to send here. Death entered through sin, through Satan. So death entered. God is a life giver. He calls things that don't exist as though they do. Here is one of the greatest problems because most people think they're being honest, calling things that exist as though they exist. If you're calling things that exist as though they exist, there's no point in it. In other words, to keep talking about your problem isn't going to do you any good. And understand this. Now here, understand what we are in a world system. The world system teaches this in psychology. If you have a problem, you just need to sit down and keep talking about it. What you do is every week you go to a group who has the same problem and you all sit down and keep discussing your problem and crying on each other's shoulders and everything's going to get better. And you know what happened? Here's what happened. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Now, look, I don't believe that people who do that want to be mean or bad. I believe they're trying to fix a problem. They're trying to fix something. But what they're doing is, what happens is down the road, you go 2 or 3 years down the road, and the person ain't fixed. They're still attending that group. You know, that's like getting born again and still have to go and keep back and praying about getting born again 3 years later, still trying to get born again. I mean, that's stupid. Something ought to get fixed. Something ought to get fixed. God wants to fix problems. That's what this is why the life of walking by faith, because God wants your problem fixed. He don't want you to have to go to some Christian counselor for 3 years for that counselor to become your God to tell you what to do all the time. There's nothing matter going sitting down some counseling, but somebody wants to keep seeing you all the time, there's something wrong with them. You got to come to a point to get fixed. And that's what's important. Now, some people, it take a long time. It's one of the things is just sitting down like here and teaching. Like most people won't come to a church that sits down and teaches. They want the 20 minutes in and out. We're gone and we're Christians and, you know, we believe God. They want that. But you got to be taught. Why? You got to get your mind renewed. That's what people's problems are. I do some of the best counseling in the world. God told me. God told me, do not counsel people who won't sit under your teaching. He told me that. Don't you counsel people. If they will not come to church and listen to your teaching, if they got problems, they call you, you do not counsel them. He told me, and I don't. I don't counsel people. He said, your best counseling is when the anointing's on you and you're teaching the word. He said, if they don't respect your anointing under the word, they won't respect a thing you say to them. And I found out it's true because I disobeyed and counseled people and wasted my time. Because all they wanted is me to tell them what they wanted to hear. That's what they wanted. If you ain't noticed, I ain't that kind of guy. Sometimes I have to tell me what I don't want to hear. But see, the whole thing of it is we need to understand there needs to be a renewing and a changing on the way of your mind. Let me say this to you. The renewing of your mind process is not just through teaching. Your mind cannot be renewed just by teaching. Your mind gets renewed by teaching and doing. This is where people don't get it. I've learned this over the years. I learn the quickest and the best if somebody tells me about something and then immediately begins to show me how to do it, and I start doing it. In other words, putting it into practice. I learn best by the practice. Once I've learned, I start practicing something, man, I get it. It dawns on me. It grabs me. See, this is wrong with the American educational system. The American educational system is all sitting there giving just all information, and nobody does nothing. And nobody learns how to do a thing. Kids come out of college, they spend all their life in school, you know, up to the time they get out of college, spend a third of their life. Come out of the third of their life, and they don't know how to do nothing. They don't know how to do things. They can't even take care of themselves. They got to move in with mom and dad to take care of them. They can't get jobs. They can't get out on their own. Why? They have no experience of life. Christians are identical. They have no experience in Christianity. Boy, this is good teaching, folks. They have no experience. They know all kinds of scriptures. They can quote it. They know the doctrines, but have no experience in it. I have tons of experience. God dealt with me about this. Was talking to me about this yesterday. Was talking to me about, through experience, things that I've learned by experiencing, by doing things and practicing. Sometimes in my practices, I messed up. But I learned some things by my mess up. I really learned some good stuff. I learned some really valuable things about it as going along. Now, those weren't mess ups to, you know, to try to destroy anything. These were just mess ups that you do. It's just like a child, we were talking about tying his shoe. They mess it up. They ain't trying to mess it up. They're learning how to do it. So you mess up. So you need to learn that about yourself. See, most people, we're in this thing. We're afraid that if we step out into something, we might mess up. Get over it. Grow up. You're going to mess up. You're gonna practice to step out in areas of faith. See, one of the things have the fear. If you're afraid you're gonna make a mistake at it, the devil owns you. Just think of a child would never stand up to walk because they had the fear they might fall down. Well, they never walk. And this is most people today. Most people have a fear of doing something because they may fail. See, I learned in the areas of divine healing. You know what? I got over into areas and decided certain things. I was going to stay and believe God and not go to the doctor. I knew this. You know, the fear wanted to come on me. Oh, you got to go to the doctor. This might really get serious. Fear will come on you. You got to do something. It'll make you afraid to stand out to try to do divine healing. This is where most people are afraid. They're afraid to attempt divine healing. They're afraid to attempt it. So they can never practice it. You're going to have to fight. How many times you guys heard me say, practice on like a headache? You get a headache, take a practice. Most people never do it. I say it, but most people never do it. They'll never practice. They'll never practice. That's where I started practicing. Kenneth Hagin, I didn't learn to say that myself. Kenneth Hagin said, start with a headache or start with something simple. Believe God, I'm going to stand on this till I learn how to get this thing fixed without doing something naturally. So that's what I started out to do. Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start to practice that. Well, it wasn't easy. It was like learning to tie my shoe. I mean, I was just fumbling around with it. But I'm going to tell you today, something try to come on like that, I can instantly grab a hold of it and stop. I can stop it quick. Well, it isn't hard to do. It don't take nothing to do it. But it took me to practice to figure out. That's easy. And I practiced it and practiced it and practiced it. So it got so easy that my words, things will come along and I just put the brake to it right away. And because most people are operating in the areas of fear. See, we live in a society and really we don't realize it, but the spirit of the age is gripping most people. And even Christians are gripping them. And they fear, most people are driven by fears. Afraid of what's happening. They're trying to stand in faith. See, fear is like, it's sort of like having faith. Faith is, let's say faith is a nice clean glass of water. Fear is that dirty water that you're dumping in there on your faith. And it's what it's doing is contaminating your faith. Fear will always contaminate your faith. It'll always contaminate it. And fear is something you're always going to have to resist. It ain't going to go away. You ain't going to go along and fear don't show up one day. There's a devil in the earth, folk. There's going to be, even without the devil, there's enough people to try to bring fear on you to tell you what you're doing ain't going to work. You got enough Christians that'll be there hounding you. Telling you they love you, but you're insane. You know, you don't really do that. We don't walk that way. We don't do that. There's opposition. It's there. But you have to learn to resist fear. Because fear will always try to come to contaminate your faith. God, we find here, we talk about this God, what? God's a life giver. If he's a life giver, he's not a fear giver. Fear never gives life. Did you ever, you know, you're in and walk along an area, something, and something happens in your life and fear grips you? You know, people say, oh man, it just grabbed my gut. That was your heart you're talking about. That's your inner man, not your physical heart ain't what the Bible says. You don't believe with your physical heart. You couldn't believe no more with your physical heart than you could believe with your physical eyeball. It's your, and it'll grip your, fear will try to grip your heart. Your heart is your place of faith. Fear will want to grip you and grip your heart. God is a life giver. He calls things that don't exist as though they do. See, you might have sickness in your body, but God says you're healed. God calls things that don't, you know, is not as though they were. God doesn't, you know, it's like we were talking about last week. You know, the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. See, God's calling things that don't exist as though they exist. See, fear wants to make you weak. Well, I tell you what, I'm just so weak. I just can't. I tell you, my faith is just so weak. And my faith is, I watch people talk themselves right out of the faith they have by what they say. Instead of let the weak say I'm strong, the weak keep saying they're weak. He said, let the poor say I'm rich. Why? He's a God that calls things that don't exist as though they do. God is trying to get you to speak the right things or to say the right things. Understand, that's a hugely important part if we're going to walk in the areas of faith. We find with Abraham, it said, who contrary to hope and hope believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. It said, we talked about this last week, the hope. There was natural hope. Well, he had no natural hope. Sarah was a barren woman. She couldn't have kids. She is getting older, so that sure throws it off. You know, God said, you know, you're going to have descendants out of you like the stars of the heaven, like the sands of the sea. You're going to have this thing. And there's a barren woman who's getting older and an old man that's getting older. So naturally there's no hope, but he says this in hope he believed. And what was that hope? That was the promise. The promise. See, you must get your focus off of your problem and on the promise. Your confession must be of the promise and not of the problem. You can confess the problem all you want, but that doesn't change the problem. What changes the problem is you and I did what Abraham. Confess the promise. Confess. Keep saying what the promise is. Keep speaking your... You know, we don't keep making confessions about things because, you know, some of the stupid teaching in the past where people, you know, you confess and confess till it happens, and what they were telling you is you just had to keep saying it, one day it'll come to pass. We confess and say it's for us, it's not for God. The reason we make our confession is to maintain our faith, because something's always going to jump in your face to make you think that what you're believing God for ain't working. Your body will tell you, well, my words, if I'm healed, why am I feeling so bad? Well, you have a choice. You can sit and begin to discuss your feelings, or you can be saying, but the Word of God says, by His stripes I was healed. Praise God, I'm so glad I'm healed. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. You got to start talking contrary to natural hope. Naturally, your body's going to tell you of its aches and pains. Now look, your body has, you know, nerve endings and that feel things and does stuff. But we don't need to understand this. You know, people say, well, I'm going to say what's really happening. Well, I'll tell you what. See, I believe the Word of God is what's really happening. So I'm going to make that my confession. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make that my confession. I'm going to operate contrary to natural hope. And God really had us emphasize that, the contrary. You know, my mom, I thought about this. My mom used to say, if she didn't like, you know, what we were doing, she goes, you're just being contrary. My mom used to say that a lot about being contrary. And God brought that up to me and said, you know what? You just need to live contrary. You know what? Most Christians aren't contrary enough. That's what's wrong with their life. They easily flow with everything else that's going on. They're not contrary enough. I'll tell you what, I learned to walk by faith, you're going to have to be contrary. Majority of the people aren't going that way. And we're not saying because they're bad or they're evil. It's just they're not taught. Maybe don't even have a desire to do that. And you have to know, if you have a desire to walk by faith, because without faith you can't please God. If you want to please God, you're going to have to do this faith thing. So if we're going to walk by faith, we got to understand we're going to be living a contrary life. People will think that you are a problem. Get over it. You're not being a problem. You're doing what you can to please God. They can't see that. They don't believe that. But if you yield to them, then you're yielding away from God. You got to yield to your faith. Say, well, because He'll tell you, oh, no, you're crazy. You don't do this. Don't. You just keep walking by faith, walking by faith. You're not going to win anybody by trying to please them. Haven't you understood? How's the body of Christ get in its condition today? It's trying to please the world. And you know what? Are we liked a lot better now? Aren't we really liked? We're hated. And you know why? Because they hate scumbags that won't stand up for what they believe in. I've gotten more compliments from sinners over the years than I have Christians because I'll make a stand. The world wants to see somebody make a stand. It's this weak, mealy-mouthed Christianity today that sits around and does nothing and just plays this nice little religious stuff. They don't like it. They don't want it. They see us do that. They see us kiss up to them. And you know what they think? They're a bunch of idiots. They aren't gonna, you know, they're just some more suckers we can use. Just tell them I need money and they'll go give it to you. You know, I need help. They'll come and do stuff for you. I don't have to do it. You don't have to go to work. Christians will take care of you. It's like George W. Bush had that idea. I heard him say one time that the church ought to take over the welfare system. Man, they wouldn't want this guy to take over the welfare system. They'd have so many people mad at the government, that'd be it, man. Because I'd be put them off immediately. They wouldn't be on it. See, he thought he was being nice to people, but all he was doing is he was helping destroy America. He didn't know it. I don't think he didn't have any idea. He thought he was being nice. He was being compassionate. See, he thinks the idea, you know, Jesus didn't run a welfare system. You know, the crazy apostle Paul said, you don't work, you don't eat. That's in there. George Bush never read that one. I'm sorry, but he didn't. He didn't think I was true. He didn't think I was true. And see, but people come along and think, well, we're doing good. No, we aren't doing good. We've created a problem now that if somebody does need help, everything's such a mess, nobody gets help. It's just a mess. And so what they're doing. But we need to continue. We need to live in this place of contrary. So just decide you're going to be contrary. I'm sure somebody's going to tell you about it too. They might not use that word, but that's what they're talking about. You know what's the matter? You're not a team player. This is what's wrong with you. I just tell them straight out, Ed's not a team player. If you ain't on God's team, we ain't ever getting on teams together. We ain't ever going to be a team player. Get over it. You lie, cheat, and steal. I ain't lying and cheating and stealing. I'm not a team player. The team player is covering each other, and you're lying and cheating and stealing. I've worked with people when I was at Reese's already, and it was about people did so. And I told them when I started having to work with them, you keep doing the junk I know you've been doing over the years working with me, and I'm turning you in. Because you ain't hanging around me and me knowing that stuff's going on, and they get on me later about it. You a crook and a thief, I will drag you out. Everybody will know. No, most people are good Christians. Well, we're just so nice, and we're going to try to reach them. I've reached some people. I'm going to tell you, they acted differently when they worked with Ed. They weren't those hellions doing all kind of crazy stuff. They knew a little bit about law. Law is schoolmaster that brings them to Christ. The law is. Oh, we don't want to make any laws. The world don't like law. That's right. That's why they live like hell. You give it to them whether they want it or not. It's like I used to do with Castro. They used to make the kids take it whether they wanted it or not. You make them take the law whether they want it or not, or they'll never get to Christ. They need to know that there's right and wrong. And the church is teaching them nothing's wrong. It's all right. God loves you. You know, God loves you, so He overlooks evil. No, we don't. You need to tell them. You reap what you sow. You keep living like hell, and you're going to pay for it, bud. Oh, we don't tell them, oh, my words. God wouldn't do that. I'm sorry, the word's true, and the word stands. And we need to, you know, get over it. I'm getting a little excited here today, you know. I'm telling you, contrary to hope. Hallelujah, I'm being contrary. I'll tell you, we need to shake things up. We need to shake stuff up. Church has been too quiet. I'm tired of having these preachers just nice preaching on TV. You got to get somebody on there, stands up and says something. Somebody get on there and say, you know what? Half you people are going to hell that are listening and sending the checks. Now, we love you and thank you for the money, but you better get your life right. Jesus is coming back. Checks ain't going to save you. We need to let people know. I'm going to tell you what. Jesus said this. Jesus said, they'll say, Lord, Lord, look what I've done this in your name. And He's going to say, go away, I never knew you. There's going to be all kinds of Christians say, I'm a Christian. And they ain't going. I'll tell you where they'll be. They'll be in hell. This ain't talking about faith. We're talking about living this thing. Living. Jesus said this. When I come back, will I find faith in the earth? He asked a question. Hallelujah. And Ed said, yes, He's going to find Ed in faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's going to find you in faith too, isn't He? Hallelujah. Well, say it. Glory to God. He'll find me in faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if He comes here, we're all right anyway. We're got faith. Glory to God. We believe this stuff's true. This is the Word of God. It'll do what it says. Hallelujah. We're going to get a busload up today. That boy wants to drive. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, the more it goes on, the more I am looking happier about leaving. Glory to God. But listen to what it said here. We read this last week, and we're standing around this. I had a sense we were going to be going hanging around this again today, but I did do some, studied some other stuff too. But anyhow, it said, and not being weak in faith, now it says why. What kept him from being weak in faith? He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. If you need to understand this, weakness of faith comes from considering the circumstances. If you're still considering what your problem is and that's your consideration, then you're going to be weak in faith. Most people pamper their problems. Most people pamper the body. This is one of the great problems we have today in dealing with areas of health, because most people are always pampering the flesh, trying to keep it happy. The Bible tells this, your flesh is supposed to be dead. So kill it. Quit pampering it. Quit trying to be so nice to your body from the standpoint of always, you know, its feelings, its stuff. My body's pretty stupid. It's selfish, self-centered, always wants what it wants. No matter how good things get, if any little thing comes along, my flesh wants to, you know, I don't like this, you know. Like, I don't want to eat the broccoli. I don't want this. Your body telling you. I've learned over time. I would just practice keeping my flesh under. Just from the standpoint, I used to do things like I would eat things that normally my didn't like. But to just tell my body, you're going to do this. You're going to shut up and do this. I didn't specifically have a need to do that for any health reason. I was just working on my flesh, teaching it to shut up. That I was in control rather than my body. Most people, their body's in 99% control. Whatever they don't like, that's the thing that dominates. They sit in their life of all the things they like and don't like. I like this, I don't like that, and it's all about stuff. And the body governs, and you need to understand this, the more the body governs you, the more restricted you are. The more restricted you are to do the will of God, because your body, when God says, go do this, you can't go there. Well, no, I can't eat this. I can't touch that. I can't have this. God says, but I want you to go to Africa. Well, I can't go to Africa because I can't go over there and eat that. You can't do the will of God. Your flesh will determine how you'll serve God. And I found that my flesh was not very cooperative about it. So I had to learn to really treat myself, my flesh, in a way to put it under, to deal with it. You're going to have to do that. You can't live by faith without putting the flesh under, because the flesh is, you know, I used to always use this statement about children, and the reason I used to use it is children, because children are, you know, they're growing up and they're mostly not always guided by their flesh. That's how they do. Have you ever noticed? Your kids, I've learned today especially, kids are just, fleshly. Whatever their flesh wants and that stuff, they're just fuss, scream, and do all their stuff. Flesh. Why do they do? Well, because you can find out adults do the same thing, but here's why what it is. Your flesh is like electricity. Electricity always seeks the path of least resistance. Always. The flesh will always seek the path of least resistance that requires least of me to do. You know, the flesh don't want to say, yeah, let's stand in faith and believe God. The flesh will say, oh my God, let's go do this or do that, or let's get this done. You know. The flesh is always trying. The flesh is operating over there in that area, and you have to understand that. You're not weird. That's your flesh. See, well, what do you do about it? Well, don't shoot it, because, if your flesh dies, your spirit's going to leave. But you can bring your flesh under, and we do that. I learned now there's things that my flesh used to rebel about when I first started off in the areas of healing. My flesh would rebel against me when I'd start to walk in certain directions, because my flesh would say, you're crazy. You could die. What the devil speaking? Your flesh, lots of times you've been blaming the devil saying things to you. It's your loud flesh talking to you. It's your flesh telling you, oh, you don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. Your flesh is saying, man, I don't go there. Don't you feel how bad? See how bad I feel? Hey, hurry up. Give me something. Give me something. I hate the least amount of pain, you know. Today, people, my words, at least a little bit of discomfort. Oh, it's just terrible. It's awful. The least little bit of discomfort. You have to learn to bring your flesh under the place. And I learned that over time of standing against my flesh. And my battle was about the flesh. It was the war against the flesh and the spirit. My inner man's wanting to be contrary to the natural, my flesh. Contrary to the natural, my flesh is the natural. And my faith is operating contrary to what my flesh likes. That's the big battle. The big battle ain't the devil. He's called defeated. But I want to tell you, you can stand and resist the devil and your flesh dominates you because you don't learn to bring your flesh under control. The renewing of the mind is when your mind and your spirit get in line together, they can wrestle your flesh down and hold it. And it can. My flesh today don't even think twice about certain things that I'll turn around and say, I'm going to walk in faith in it. My flesh don't even give me a battle anymore. You know why? Because now over time, my flesh learned it works. My flesh will not give me any trouble about it whatsoever. I remember just in the areas of giving money. Man, my flesh, whew, sometimes the Lord asked me to do something, and boy, it was a real step out there financially. My flesh would be like, oh, wow. You give it away. What about our bill? What about this? What about, oh, what about that? Oh, my words. You know, your flesh walking around. If you said you were going to go out and buy yourself a steak dinner that you couldn't afford, your flesh would say, let's go eat that. Man, I want that. But you get to give an offering you can't. You think you can't afford? Oh, all of a sudden we're doing reasoning. Well, we want to use wisdom here. You need to use wisdom over here. Go out and buy a car you can't afford. Go out and buy a house you can't afford. Go buy things. The flesh is, let's go get it. Let's go get it. We'll have it. Give money. Oh, I don't know. We got to use wisdom. We must use wisdom over here in this area. You've been there, haven't you? And you know what? I'm sad to say, probably most of the time, the flesh won. But somebody said, well, let's go borrow money to do this. Oh, yeah, let's go get it. Yeah, we'll have fun. The flesh said, let's do that one. Amen. That's good preaching anyhow. You might as well laugh. If you can't laugh, just say, oh, me. But anyhow, we're talking about it. But your flesh, this happens in your flesh. Your flesh resists against going in that direction. That's just the way it is. And you need to recognize what it is. You can't walk by faith to realize what your enemy is. And your flesh is really an enemy. Why? Because it's dead in sin. Thank God one day we'll get a new body. We're going to have a new body that will not resist what our inner man wants to do at all. We're going to have a new one. That's going to be nice. You know why it's so nice in heaven? Because your stinking body's rotten in a grave down here and your spirit goes there and there's nothing contrary there against it. The big contrary, you got your flesh. That's the problem we got. It's our flesh, because our needs and desires are the flesh. And if we don't deal with those things, we end up in trouble. You know, most people, the troubles, like with me, when I was a sinner, my trouble was I was always trying to keep my flesh happy. Drugs, alcohol, you name it, sex, do whatever. You just do all the stuff. Everything trying to have fun. I never understand half the time what Christians go through to have fun. Man, I can just have fun just going to bed at night. I don't have to do something. I'm having fun. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. My life's good. Hallelujah. I'm not discontent. Hallelujah. My life's fun. Hallelujah. I don't need that. You know, I don't need to have people around me to have fun. I can have fun with them there or they ain't there. It don't matter. I don't have to have something. Now, I wouldn't like that, man. I had to beat this thing down, man, to get him to teach him that you're going to act right. You know, the Bible teaches, you know, people are always, you know, praying about God doing something to their body. Go over and read the book of Colossians. It tells you, you're the one that's supposed to put your body under. God don't, you do. This is our fight. This is our body. So you have to find ways to deal with your flesh so you can walk in faith. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's going to require faith to bring the flesh under. Because I'm telling you, when you're wrestling it down, sometimes it gets the other hand, it'll throw you down the floor, and then you just got to get up and wrestle it back, throw it down. You know, this is back and forth. Now, if you ain't ever had those experiences, I've had thousands of them. Those experiences of wrestling my flesh down, thinking, I got it now. Woo-hoo! Yes, I got this thing, I'm in faith. Next thing you know, I'm on the floor. And the flesh is standing over me going, ha, ha, ha! You know, and you got to learn to get back up and throw it down again. You got to learn to do it. It's a battle. People don't want a battle. You know, I find people with habits. You got a habit you can't get rid of? The whole thing is habits because you don't want to fight it. Your habit exists because you won't fight. It's easier to give in to it. See, but I want God to take it from you. He ain't taking it from you. You got to lay it down. You got the habit. He know. You got it. Folks, whether you like it or not, this is good preaching. See, people are turning around trying to get all this stuff and praying and asking God, God, take care of my flesh. God ain't going to take care of your flesh. That's your flesh. It ain't His. Jesus did good with His flesh so you and I could be saved. Now He expects you and I to take the will of God and the grace of God that comes to us, walk in line with it, bring your flesh under. Why? So you can walk by faith. This is how we walk by faith. It takes faith to bring this flesh under. You're not going to do it tomorrow. You're not going to make it work. But you need to see it. Look, I have a responsibility to bring things under control in my life. It's me. Bringing me under control, not somebody else. Everybody else thinks, I get this person straight in my life. They're in trouble if I got them straightened out. No, they won't, because you're here. I'm just going to tell you, you're all trouble. I know, because I know me. And I cause me trouble. And so get over it. You think you're so sweet? You ain't sweet. You're trouble. Well, I finally got to the point, you know, that Ed was trouble in his life. And you start dealing with it, I could walk by faith. But people won't admit it. It's everything else. If I could have money or if I got this fixed or that, then these things. Look, certain things in life are helpful. But I don't know any other way to bring in the flesh. Money will never bring the flesh under. Nothing else. Just bringing this flesh under. It's a work, but it is a work that, I'm telling you, it's doable and you can do it. You can get to the point. Worry and fears and all that stuff, they come from the flesh. There's a flesh yields. The flesh don't like what's going on. And if the flesh is allowed to dominate, you know what the Word of God says. You're not supposed to worry. But the flesh is so loud, you can't hear. You can't hear it from the inside. Your mind knows what the Word of God says, but you can't hear what your mind's saying because your flesh is going, help me, help me. No, I don't want to go through this. No, 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 no. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Folks, I've lived this stuff. I know. My flesh can be loud, and yours is too. And you have to learn to bring it under is to say, hey, hold it. To get to the place where certain things don't bother you. There's certain things that I don't fight with anymore. But it ain't like I didn't, and I didn't have to learn to work through them. But you're going to have to do that. We've always put this thing of this faith walk out to, you know, some great thing, believing God for $1 million and all that stuff. Look, you can't get your flesh under control. Don't even bother trying to go there. Because your flesh will fight you and won't let you stand. If you can't bring your flesh under, your faith is stumped in its areas to grow. It can't. Because your faith is out of your heart. And if your heart can't operate, if your flesh keeps suppressing your inner man, the inner man is not going to be able to produce what he wants to produce. Even though you know what's true. You got to bring your flesh under. Say, flesh, no, you ain't going to dominate. You ain't going to rule me. That's it. The Word of God says such and such. And deal with it. And don't be afraid of the fact of, like, you know, say, oh, well, I tried to straighten this out, you know, and then I messed up. And quit feeling sorry for yourself and whining. You know? We were just like this. I was born the youngest of six brothers, and I had three sisters. I was the youngest. I got used to being beat up. I was on the bottom of the totem pole. And what you did? You didn't get knocked down and cry and whine. You got up and fought. Or you're going to be on the ground all the time. You got to learn to fight. I learned to get equalizers. You know, I learned the bigger stick or, you know, the hammer. And I'm telling you, I'm serious. I learned to do it. You know, and I'll tell you what, I ain't no difference concerning it. You got to learn to get up and quit your whining. Most people have done two cushy lives. That's what's wrong with their faith. Their faith don't work because all they want is cush. Cushy, cushy, cushy. The devil ain't cushy and your flesh ain't either. Mine's a little cushier than it should be. But but I'm just, folks, this is just faith walk I'm talking about here. I'm not, you know, trying to tell you to do something that's crazy. This is the way what we're at. This is where we're at in our fight. This is where we're at. And I had to learn that I couldn't lay down and whine. You know, believe me, I wanted to lay down and whine, but I even did it with my faith. I wanted to lay down and whine. But I think, you know, I don't understand, you know, I understand the Holy Ghost is a comforter, but I understand this. The Holy Ghost has, in my life, has many times told me to knock it off and get and stand. Told me to stand. Get up. Quit acting like that. I've had it many times. The reason he doesn't to most people is because they do not want to hear that. They want to hear is, you're okay, everything's all right. No, I learned it. You're a bunch of flakes. You're just like me. You'll live flaky and do. If somebody don't train you, if somebody don't stay on you, you won't ever change. Now, let's get real about it. I mean, all of us are just self-made people. I mean, we just went along and we just did everything right. We didn't need mommies and daddies to teach us and whoop us once in a while, get us in line. We didn't need none of that because we were just wonderful people. And no, you're not. Just because you got older, you don't need somebody getting on your back once in a while, and the Holy Ghost needs to do that. And you need to allow Him to talk to you the truth. It may not always be pleasant to hear the truth about you. Sometimes I got upset at hearing the truth about me. I didn't like it. You know, somebody, you know, it isn't as bad as somebody else tells you about it, but when God tells you, that's, you know, it's like, God said, get up, stop that. Quit your whining about that. Did he do that because he didn't like me? No. He knew I knew better. He get me to stand and make a stand. Why? Because he wants me to have his word fulfilled in my life. Thank God. You know, I just think concerning my parents. My parents did things because they wanted certain things fulfilled in my life. My parents wanted us to have a good life. They wanted us to have jobs and place to work and do that. Our parents wanted those things for us. And they knew that if we grew up lazy and not working and doing stuff and listening to people and obeying, they knew that if we did that, what our life was going to turn out like. I'm thank God. Our whole family turned out successful. And today, most people can't get one or two kids to be successful. Why? Because they won't do what my parents did. My parents had a demand on us. And if you were wrong, they didn't come, oh, that's okay, you cute little thing. You can do it again and get it. And we'll just keep telling you, don't do that, 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 don't do that. But never do nothing. No, they get a hold of you. When my little mama this big, man, I don't care how big you got in the family. That lady get a hold of you. You got a hold of, man. Man, she had a vice grip on her. She could hurt you just by holding your arm. We were little kids, and she'd tell you to stay with them, and you wanted to pull out. She'd give you the vice grip, and it's like, my God, I'll go and obey. Dear Lord, you thought you were going to crush the bones in your arm. You know, dear Lord, Mama, we going. My mama was 80 years old, and she could still grab your arm, and you couldn't break loose. Because they teach you, you know, like in defense classes, you turn toward the thumb. You could turn all day toward her thumb, and you wouldn't do nothing. Her thumb, I don't know what it was, but that woman had a grip on her that was absolutely phenomenal. And she'd grab a hold of you, and once she got a hold of you, man, it was like the snapping turtle. Never lets go. Not even when the sun went down. She still had you. But what they were doing, my parents weren't mean, they weren't being evil, they were training us, they were teaching us. You know what really they were teaching us? They were teaching us to bring our flesh under control and to do what's right. Our great society today, and the adults are as bad as the kids. Nobody's disciplined. Most people, I'm going to tell you, it will help your mental stability hugely if you learn to discipline yourself. If you learn to discipline yourself, people talk about my mind and that stuff. You start to discipline yourself and get yourself following rules. You'll learn to set yourself. I'm not going to do this. Don't let yourself do certain things. Don't let yourself, you know. People get over things and start to setting rules on your life. I had to set rules and guidelines on my life. You know, it's just like the things, you know, people, I got born again, I got, delivered from alcohol, but I had to set rules on my life at first. I wouldn't go to a bar or into a place that had drinks because I learned to set rules on myself. You have to do that. You know, should I tell you what? You got habits. You don't hang around with people and make your best friends and doing what your best friends have the same habits and hanging with them. You ain't ever getting rid of your habits. You're going to have them all your life. And so quit lying to people and tell you you're praying to God and want to get rid of it. You don't want to get rid of it. You want to keep living the same old fleshly life and have it. Now, I know that sounds mean, but it ain't mean, folks. It's just the way it is. I know! There's a thing about in the Word, it says about come out from among them and be ye separate. Well, that isn't, you know, that there's not a wisdom just from the standpoint as talking about you're a Christian. Anybody wants to overcome something, you can't hang out with people. If you're not able to overcome it, you don't hang out with others and overcome it. You don't go get in a group of people that are all messed up and then you talk to each other and somehow you're going to get free. Everybody who's in the ditch stays in the ditch. You hang around. I found this out. I started hanging around with people, and this is what most people don't like to do. You start hanging around with people more spiritual than you. See, most people don't like that because they want to be top dog. I don't want anybody to think I'm not spiritual. I want to hang around with somebody that knows something. I want to get close with them because, number one, the anointing on their life will rub off on you. And you'll learn, when you're around them, you'll learn. You can better bring yourself under control when you don't have all the temptations around you, around all those other people. You've got to learn to protect yourself. See, people say, well, and we got to love people. Hey, sometimes you got to love at a distance because you got to get fixed yourself. If you don't get yourself fixed, you ain't ever fixing nobody else. You know, it's like people say, you know, I got a divorce in my life, so I want to minister to divorced people. What has that got to do with anything? You getting a divorce don't mean you know a thing about my marriage. All it shows is you didn't know what makes you all of a sudden an authority. Now think about this. Jesus never got married. Do you think he's an authority on marriage? A person can be an authority on marriage who's never been married. If they know how to keep their body under control and keep themselves under, they're 1,000 times better authority than most people who think they're authority. Just teaching you some good stuff here. But see, we decide our own ministries and our own things because we're just like the world. What happens? Somebody has a tragedy in their life, now they're going to take that tragedy and I'm going to start a group and we're going to turn around and try to help people so other people don't have this tragedy. And you know what? It never stops nothing. It never helps nothing. Because I went through something bad don't mean I learned a thing. You need to understand that. Going through something don't mean you learn anything. And so we need to get ourselves over and in the place where we turn to conduct our lives, really, by bringing the flesh under. Abraham would sure had to bring his flesh under to not consider his age. Now, nobody would have went to Abraham to find out to have kids. At least nobody in the church world would have. They would have been going to try to find somebody just because they had a lot of kids. They always used to laugh at my mom and daddy because having all the kids, and they used to make fun of because, you know, the things because of producing so many kids. Well, it was just what they did. You know, their whole families. My dad came out of a family of 17 and all that kind of stuff. The thing of it was for them, they just never did nothing about not having kids. They didn't think about having kids or not having kids. So they wouldn't have been people you would have went to talk about having kids or not having kids because that had nothing to do with what they were doing. They were just getting in bed together, folk. And that was the result, was children. And so we need to understand this. It's like today, people are trying to seek things out. So bringing yourself under control, begin to look at yourself. So one of the first things that the Lord taught me when I got born again, I think I had a head start on a lot of people in the areas of faith because I didn't get into a bunch of things about money and all that kind of stuff and things. God got me over about straightening my life out. Most people are at least 5-10 years down the road in their Christianity till they figure out they got to get their life fixed. Their life. Fix them. After they've already set a course of a mess. And I'm going to tell you, I just tell you to do this. You stop everything else and start working on you. Because, folks, that's your success. That it don't matter. You know, you can believe God, do a bunch of other things, but you go to bed and have to close your eyes looking at yourself as every night as being a failure and nothing working for you and things ain't working and your flesh dominating you and ruling you. And you can maybe play happy in front of other people, but what about when you close your eyes at night? What happens when you have to really look at you? Are you satisfied? If you're not, what does all that matter? What does all that matter? It's about you. Many people, they have a negative view of themselves. Many Christians, I don't care how it works, their flesh so dominates them and rules them. They have this perfectionism about themselves and are trying to do, and they judge themselves where they, people don't even care what's going on around about them, but they think everybody's watching them and looking at them and seeing how they, and they're all messed up. You got to get yourself over where you don't believe you're the target in the world, you know? You know, most people think everybody's watching me to see what I do. Most people don't even care you even breathe or exist. Get over it. You're so full of yourself. I had to get where I wasn't full of myself. Everybody's watching me. You go around and ask them, and they go, who? My mama didn't even know who I was. Who's he? I don't know who that guy is. Or whatever. Oh, that's my one son. Don't mind him. He's crazy. But I just want to encourage you. I didn't plan on going this direction at all today. I don't have any notes on this, but I just knew today that God wanted to do some things and talk some stuff, and I just, you know, I studied and looked at a lot of things. But I just want to encourage you, because Abraham had to be a man who was not moved by what other people thought. He got hooked on this promise of God, and he was going to follow what he knew that God had told him. In other words, just think what the small revelation of God that we know that he had. Abraham didn't have the Bible to read. Abraham didn't even have the Pentateuch to read. He didn't even have the first five books of the Bible. Abraham didn't even know that existed. He didn't know. Abraham didn't have any of those. He didn't know the book of Genesis. You know, all it was stuff that was passed down over time that people said. But understand this, Abraham was living with pagans. He was a pagan. He worshipped other gods, and God even called him out. He had a very strong revelation from God. But just think about it. Look what that man did, just believing what he did know, how it gripped his life. See, we have to get over to we have confidence in God's word where, man, will you let the promise of God grip your life? Will you allow it to overtake you to where you get to the point, I'm going to follow the promises of God. I don't care what anybody else is doing. Abraham did that. That's why he got to the point. I mean, there was no natural hope whatsoever for them to have a child. There was none whatsoever. Everything on earth is contrary to the direction they were gone. Yet God said, I'm going to do that for you. He got so engulfed in that he didn't see what was going on around him. And the whole time he's being blessed by God. He's living in a land. People are becoming fearful from him because he's becoming so powerful. Yet Abraham's never trying to become powerful. Abraham's a man with integrity. Great integrity. If you don't have integrity, forget a faith life. You ain't going to have one. Somebody else will always have to believe God something for you or try to get you help because you'll never have it. Integrity is everything. Your word's no good, you're no good. I'm just sorry, that's the way it is. My word's no good, I'm no good. If I say I'm going to do things, don't do things, you know, it's my word about me. I learned that a long time ago. I want my faith to work. I've learned to say, you know, you learn to speak the words of God. I said, God, I'm going to make a stand. I don't care if I fall 50 times. I will get back up and head in the same direction every time because I said I was going to do that. See, you got to get over that whining when you fall and get up. Well, I tried this. Get up. You got to learn to get up because your flesh goes, yeah, just lay here and whine. They'll send you a welfare check. Don't worry. Just lay here and cry. Somebody will come and take care of you. Somebody will come patch you. Oh, you poor old thing. We'll start a ministry for you. So you can just stay a poor old thing and we'll all just patch you all the time. No, we're not going to do that. Stand up. Stand up. The Holy Ghost will make you stand. If you'll listen to him, you'll stand up again. What? I'm going back at it again. I missed it this time, but we're going back at it. I'm going to keep at it till I get it. Amen. I'm going to keep after it till I get it. Jesus comes back. He's finding faith. I'm just going to keep walking by faith. I'm just going to keep standing up and saying, nope, we're walking by faith. We're walking by faith. I'm not afraid to miss it. Dear Lord, if I was afraid to miss it, I'd have quit a long time ago. My God, I've missed it so many times on things or stuff where I started out, stumbled up, but I'll just get up again. We're going to do it again. We're just going to walk back into it again. We're going back into the fight of faith again. It's a good fight. I tell you, I like a good faith fight. Hallelujah. Good faith fight's good. Because why? I know I'm going to win. I may get knocked down and knocked down and knocked down, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Get over it. I'm going to win. And you got to become like that. We got to get that. You know, if you learn to know the Holy Spirit, you'll end up to be like that. A spirit of faith is not some wimpy, whining thing. A spirit of faith is strong. A spirit of faith will pick you up when you're down and say, hey, hold it, we ain't going through this. We ain't going to whine no more. We're standing up. And we need that back in the church. We need that. Spirit, hallelujah, of faith. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name.